Vi på Skype. For første gang podder vi på Skype. Og det har vel egentlig sittet litt inne for oss begge to. Ja. Fordi at vi ingen av oss så veldig teknisk anlagt, ironisk nok. Men når vi først har begynt med dette, det jo latterlig enkelt. Jeg skjønner egentlig ikke hvorfor vi ikke har gjort dette før.
Nei, helt enig.
Og nå I disse tider så kunne jo ikke passe bedre at vi interessert for Skype. Så dette blir bra, Renate.
Ja, det her blir kjempebra. Så får vi bare kløne med hvordan vi skal sende det videre. Ja. Det veldig mye enklere.
Det gjør det. Dette blir bra.
Det her blir veldig bra. Mm. Velkommen til Hårpodden. Jeg heter Renate.
Jeg heter Ann-Marit.
Mm. Hvordan har liksom den siste tiden vært for deg, Ann-Marit?
Ja, det jo helt surrealistisk at dette skjer. Jeg satt og hørte på live når Erna fortalte at vi skulle permitteres. Og jeg spurte tilbake, var det virkelig det hos? Og så måtte jeg ringe jobb da. Hva skjer nå? Man forstår jo det selvfølgelig, men allikevel, det helt surrealistisk. Jeg vet ikke hvordan føler du det?
Jeg var ikke forberedt på at det skulle skje, men jeg hadde en litt dårlig magefølelse som jeg egentlig ikke hadde så lyst til å snakke om, men jeg husker du og jeg pratet litt om ting som vi hadde gjort med vaskeregler og håndvask, og vi har jo holdt på med det siden 1. februar, men jeg hadde aldri trodd det skulle bli det her, men når jeg først fikk den beskjeden, så var det første som sto inn I rummet mitt, var at vi skulle ha det hyggelig, så da stekte vi vaffler, og så kjøpte vi frukt. Og så kjøpte vi faktisk en 3 liter hvitvin. Og så rydde vi med salongen, og det jo en del ting som skal gjøres. Så håndklær skal jo ikke ligge og sur nå, du vet. Alt det som skal være på plass. Jeg følte jeg lokket meg etter en krig. Og mens vi drakk vin, og så pratet vi sammen om hva vi følte og tenkte. Og tenkte vi måtte ha en litt tydelig avslutning på det. At ikke vi løp ut. Lokka det her på hjem og gjemte oss.
Det var hyggelig da. Ja. Nei, vi får håpe vi kommer, det snur og at det går vår vei igjen.
Ja. Vi har I hvert fall...
Og når jeg mener vår vei igjen, så mener jeg alle frisører, selvfølgelig. Ja.
Sånn sett det jo fint at vi står sammen I det. Alt takk til MFVB og alle som jobber for oss. Man vil at vi skal ha det best mulig I den tiden her. For jeg heldig som bor her vi bor.
Mm. Enig.
Og heldig at vi liksom kan få lov til oss å gjøre podcast.
Ja, den jobben stopper ikke opp heldigvis. Da har vi litt å gjøre. og vi har jo med oss en veldig spesiell gjest I dag.
Ja, vi har vært superheldige, så... Vi har jo med oss en italiensk gjest, så here we go. The guest of the day, he was born in Italy and comes from the 3rd generation hairdresser. He's a sessions master for Kevin Murphy and travels around the world to inspire hairdressers. And he designs hair styles for fashion weeks multiple times. Welcome to us, Massimo Morello.
Hi, Renate. Hi, Anne. Hi, Norway. How are you all?
Hi, Italy. We are fine, and you?
Well, I'm really good. I never had such a beautiful introduction before, so thank you so much.
We are so happy that you're here. På Hårpodden.
I'm very happy to be here, so thank you very much for the invitation. Love to be here.
Can you tell us something about yourself?
Absolutely. All right. So how long do we have? All right, so as you already said, I'm a 3rd generation hairdresser in my family, so that is where my DNA basically is coming from. So I'm an Italian born. I'm Australian as well, because at some stage of my career I decided to live in Australia and I moved there for many years. But first of all, I'm a hairdresser with a passion for people and fashion. And the best way to describing what I'm doing right now, like my title, it is a session stylist. So basically, I'm not working in a salon. I used to, like later on, I'm going to tell you a little bit more, but I used to be working in a salon, and some stage of my career, I just decided that I wanted to do something different. And I started to join, you know, backstage, basically. So in a nutshell, like in a very short story, that's who I am, what I'm doing at the moment.
So how did it all start, your career as a hairdresser?
Well, I started, so my grandfather had a salon in the house in a very Italian way. So it was next to the kitchen, really. So like in a really Italian way. My dad had a salon like 200 meters from the house. So I basically started with my dad when I was at the high school. I went to the professional school for hairdresser. So I was working during the week. And then on the weekend, I started to work with my dad. And that was it for 10 years, more or less, of my career. And then I decided that I wanted to do something different. And I wanted to move to New York. But so let's say that the universe was not with me back then. It was 2001, September 2001. I'm pretty sure that you all remember what happened in New York in 2001. So, yeah.
Okay.
Let's say that I didn't move to New York, and that led me to open my first salon here in Italy, in Treviso, where I'm from, so near Venice. And after a year, I decided to open another one. So basically, I had two salons, and that was it for 4.5 years. And then I had this little voice inside of me that was telling me, you need to do something else. You need to try something different. And I decided, okay, I'm going to try to sell the salon. If I'm able to sell, that means that is in my destiny to go somewhere. I didn't have a plan where to go, actually. Yeah, the universe was working for me in that moment. So I was able to sell the salon. And then I started to look around and I was like, okay, when am I going to go? Like, which one is the place where I would like to live now? And I was looking around and Australia came on my radar. And I was like, okay, you know what? Australia is one of those countries where most of the people, they save money to go there for holiday. And like, you know, people go there because it's nice weather, because like, you know, you beautiful places, you are far away from everything. So that's actually a good thing as well. So I said, why don't I live in a place where I normally would like to go for holiday? So I packed my bag and I went to Sydney, didn't know anybody, barely knew English. And that was the start of my second, like my career, the career that I have at the moment. Then when I started to work there in a salon, and then that led me to kind of open a salon with an Australian lady. And then Kevin Murphy came to my life, and that was, that was a big change. So in a nutshell, that was, that's a little intro.
Okay, can I just ask, it was your father and your grandfather, so who yes. was a hairdresser? Okay, so you, when did you start to cut hair? Was it early or?
I was, to physically learn how to do hairdressing, I was 13 years old, so 1-3. And because I was going to school during the week, and then the weekend, I was free of school. So I was working with my dad. So Friday afternoon and Saturday, I was in the salon. I physically started to cut hair, I think, when I was 18, something like that. So like 18, 20. Now I don't remember. Like, you know, it's a little bit blurry that moment. But that's more or less how I started.
Okay.
Can you tell us about Kevin Murphy? And what's your part in Kevin Murphy? And why Kevin Murphy?
Okay, so again, I try to be very, very, like, you know, short in the story because I can talk for a lot. Kevin Murphy started, I started to know Kevin Murphy in Australia, obviously, as he's an Australian brand, as the Academy of Kevin Murphy in Sydney, where I was living. It was literally on my way going to the salon. So one day I saw this big Kevin Murphy banner. And I was like, okay, that is a really nice image. It's a really cool image. It looks like a cover of Vogue. So it was not like one of those, like, let's say that the picture that I was used to, the picture that was representing a hair brand. I saw something different there. So I literally walk into the academy and I say, hey, I'm Massimo. I'm like, you know, just directing a salon next door. And I'm looking for, you know, new ideas, new product and such. And I saw Kevin Murphy. What is it? Can you explain to me what it is? That was like 11 years ago. And they explained to me the brand and I was totally blown away. And I was like, okay, I don't want to just work with this product in the salon. I want to work with you. I always been involved in education, and Kevin Murphy is a brand that is actually built in education, in sharing like knowledge and such. So that was that's how I met Kevin Murphy, the brand, not the man. And my role right now, 10 years after, 11 years after, I am a session master for the brand. So basically I'm doing three things for the brand. I'm doing fashion shows, so fashion weeks. I am the person that is organizing fashion week shows backstage team. Let's say more or less like that's my main role. At the same time, I represent the brand on stage. So I try to be a presenter and like, you know, just representing and explaining the brand and explaining what we do backstage, what we do like, you know, within our brands around the world. And last but not least, I'm teaching as well. So I'm teaching right now one class that is called Behind the Scene class. And it is a class basically made for hairdressers that would like to get a little bit of knowledge what is alive backstage. So it's an introduction about backstage, what to expect in a backstage environment. So it's a 2 days class that I really wanted to do. And I'm doing it for the last 5 years now. So that's basically what I'm doing for the brand.
Yeah. So you travel around the world all the time, or?
Yeah, when the coronavirus is not around, yes. Yeah. I am most likely every week on the plane. I'm like gold in every airlines. I've been like, you know, traveling nonstop literally every week, not only Europe, but like around the globe, basically for the last 8 years. That's what I've been doing every week. So that's, yeah, I'm traveling a lot.
Have you been in Norway?
Oh, yeah, many times. Yeah, yeah. In Bergen, okay. In Trondheim, in Oslo, and Bergen again, and then Bergen again.
How does it work? Do you first get like a session stylist, and then you get, you have steps, don't you, to climb in Kevin Murphy?
In Kevin Murphy? Oh, yes, we have. So, let's say in Kevin Murphy, you can be like, you know, you can just, of course, just be a client. But then if you want to be involved in the brand, you can just enter Kevin Murphy Education. And you, the very first step is to become a Kevin Murphy key, which is like how we call our educators, because basically a key is opening the door to the Kevin Murphy world. So that's how we call our educators. So we have three different levels of keys. We have keys, gold keys, platinum keys. Oh. And then on top of that, there is another, these three keys, you can earn it by doing the training and like doing audition, basically. You audition to become, you know, to advance. And then there is another key level, which is called diamond keys. And diamond keys is something that is being given. You cannot ask for that. It's just, you know, we handpick who we think that is, you know, the right candidate to become Diamond Keys. Then on top of that, we have Style Master, which is basically a Style Master is sharing the knowledge about Kevin Murphy, is doing most likely training all our keys and doing shows where they represent the brand, when they explain the philosophy behind the brand, the product and the stuff. And then there is the Session Master. And the Session Master is basically what I'm doing. That's more or less, that's the stairway to Kevin. We call it the stairway to Kevin.
How long did it take you to become a diamond?
A diamond? Okay, I didn't become a diamond because when I started, there was no diamond keys. When I started, we had like the keys have three levels. There was key, gold keys, and platinum keys. And then there was Style Master. Those one was the only titles available, and I did the first steps, and then I became the very first European Style Master, and I was a Style Master until 2 years ago, and then I advanced to Session Master. So that was the breakdown on my of my career. Let's say that I was a key for 2 years. I was a key, and then I shift into the master role.
Nice.
Why did you start with education? Somebody told us that you have a funny story about the first education class. Sorry.
Yeah. Actually, you have the right information. So, as I said, I'm coming from three generations of hairdressers in my family, and my dad was doing education, was doing, like, let's say, in a smaller scale what I'm doing right now. He was not traveling everywhere. He was mostly focused in the country, so he was mostly doing this in Italy, but he was doing education. So he always pushed me to join, like, a creative team or, like, you know, a brand to start to, you know, build my skills into the education world. And I started when I was really young. I told you that I started doing hair at 13. So at 16 years old, after my dad was keep pushing me, like, you know, you should try that. And in the beginning, I was like, nah, you know, I just want to hang out with my friends. I don't want to do that. And then all of a sudden, I started to work for Paul Mitchell. And I started to be one of their educators. And that was in 1996. I have a videotape, like the old school VHS cassette. I still have it here. And I have the digital video as well at the moment. And where I was doing my very first presentation in front of people. So I was, like, you know, a very young 17 years old. I think I was 16, 17, 18. I don't remember. And I had long hair with a ponytail. I had, like, you know, I was dressed in a way that it was unspeakable. Like, you know, I don't even know what went through my mind when I was wearing that. Anyway, here I am standing in front of all these people. I was the youngest one in the room, and I had a stage behind me. So there was, like, the flag of the brand behind me. There was all the product lining up very professionally, perfect in front. And my presentation, my task, it was to talk about the product. So I started to introduce myself. I pick up the first product and I started to talk about it. I said, and this one is foaming pomade and blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden, the stage behind me really fell apart. So everything went down. So while I was having the presentation, like, the flag actually came on top of my head and everything fell apart. So that was my baptism to the fire.
But it didn't stop you.
No. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Yeah, exactly.
So that was my beginning of education. Yeah.
Yeah.
1996 with Paul Mitchell, and then I worked for other brands in my lifetime. I worked for other brands, and when I moved to Australia in 2006, that was a moment where I said, okay, you know what? I had enough. I don't want to do education anymore. I felt like that it was not fun anymore. So basically, when I was in Australia, I was not doing education at all. I was just doing hairdresser and playing beach volleyball on the beach. That's what I was doing. And by the way, you have the best beach volleyball player in Norway, just for you to know. You know, yeah, world team number one in the world is Norwegian. So just for you to know. So basically, I was not involved into education back then. And then I met Kevin Murphy and I went back to it. It was, like, impossible for me to stay away from there.
Okay. Alexander Wall is the Kevin Murphy face of Norway. How do you know him?
Alexander Wall. Alexander Wall is, like, you know, we develop a relationship now that's we are obviously on paper we are colleagues because we work for the same brand, but, like, he's literally one of my best friends because we met in the very beginning of Kevin Murphy Europe when Kevin Murphy started to build education for Europe. So it was 10 years ago, and we were just invited to this training. It was in Sweden. So basically we all went there. We were one person per country. So I was representing back then Australia/Italy. And Alexander, of course, was representing Norway. And then we had other people from, like, Germany, Spain, Switzerland, Austria, and so on. So that was the beginning when we met. And since then we have a really special bond. you know, we actually look like each other. We look like we look alike because we are bald, both of us, with a beard, like, you know, tattoos, and, you know, quite tall. So Alexander is really a fun guy, and I'm sure that you know him. So like, it's just he's a big part of my life. I really like Alex.
I have to talk a little bit about Alexander because when we first have Kevin Murphy in our salon, it was kind of standing a little bit still. Somebody was looking at it, but it's nobody chose to work with it. And we had a course with Alexander, and after that,
here
it was,
we go.
And then it's just everybody started using it. It was the best seller in our salon. He's so great. We are so lucky to have him.
Yeah, he's not only a great educator, but he always have like great idea for like a global idea. So he's really thinking, thinking global and acting local, meaning that he's working in nowhere, but he's a really big part of Kevin Murphy, their brand. So he's always like, he's part of the, I don't even know the name of that. It's like a board, let's say, where all the people that have like great ideas between, you know, within the brand, sorry, they actually gather together a few times a year and they share ideas and, like, you know, what the brand should do. And Alex is, his chair is there, like, you know, since the very beginning. Very smart man.
The rumor in Norway says that he can sell you anything.
Yes, he can. He can. I saw him once selling ice to an Eskimo. I saw that.
Let's talk about Fashion Week.
Yeah.
Okay. You have been on several Fashion Weeks. So what's so special? What do you like about that?
Okay, what do I like about it? That's funny because this is a question that I've been asked quite a lot. And the thing that really attracts me to Fashion Weeks is that nowadays we live in a digital life where everybody got a filter. And when we talk about, like, you know, magazine, when we talk about like photos, when we talk about movies, when we talk about even live TV program, there is like a filters on the camera. There is like Photoshop. There is post production. There is, like, you know, stuntmen. There is, like, you know, everything is a little bit, pass me the term, is a little bit fake. Fashion Week is real. So Fashion Week, there is not a filter. When the girl walk on a catwalk, either they have good hair, good makeup, good dress, or there is no Photoshop there. So for me, it is the last real pure thing about our, like, about my job, basically. And that's where I dedicate my life. Like, you know, that's the main reason. That's why I like it. I mean, there is other reason why I like it, but, like, this one is what really attracted me in the beginning, why I wanted to be part of this.
But how does the process work from the beginning to they walk the walk?
But how does it work as a hairdresser, sorry, or as a, like, in a, like,
from start,
backstage?
You get the models and you talk to the designers do the thing they are supposed to do until they do the walk.
Yes. So okay. Basically, the conversation for me starts like way before the actual show day. So let's say I'm having a show. I was supposed to be in a show like this month and next month. And let's say I give you an example. I'm directing, let's say, a few shows every year. I'm more or less working with 130 shows every year. So that's, let's say, 80% of my time, that's what I'm doing. 80-90% of my time, that's what I'm doing. The show that I'm supposed to do in April is Barcelona Bridal, and I have 35 shows there. It means like 35 designers that I basically, the process is I'm getting all the schedule from the production, and in the schedule there is like all the email addresses and contact numbers for the designer. And then I shoot some emails and I say, hi, I'm Massimo, you know, I'm leading the hair team backstage this show. And I'm here just, you know, I just wanted to know some more details about your collection, which one is your idea, and so on. And that is the beginning of my conversation. I'm not going too deep into that because I don't know if you wanted to go deep later, but that's my beginning. I'm doing my hair trial like via email. So I'm doing hair trial with my mannequin head, and then I'm going to send the photos. I'm sending the photos to the designers, and the designer says, yes, no, I like the front, I like the back, let's do something different, or I like it. And then that is a process before, because I have to brief the team, because you understand that when I have 35 shows in 4 days, I'm not rocking up in a day and say, okay, so what are we doing now? All right, so I need to have a plan. I need to order the product. I need to order, like, you know, I need to know how many people to have backstage. Who do I need to have backstage? Everybody have different skill set. You must be really good in doing braids, but maybe blow drying is not your forte. So I need to, you know, that's my role as a hair director. And on the day, the process is, we go to the location, we get our tools out. Basically, we set up our station with the mirrors, with the electricity, with whatever we need, with all the product and such, with all the step-by-steps of the looks that we are going to do on the day. Sometimes we do, let's say, 7-8 looks in a day. There is some shows, there is one show that I'm doing, that we do 21 looks in one day. So there is 21 hairstyles in one day. Yeah, that's my face the first time that they asked me. That was exactly my face. I was like, what? How can I do that? So basically, we unpack our tools. We get ready. The models start to walk in the room. And then there is the manager of the floor manager that is saying, okay, girls, now you have hair. And all the girls, they are free for us. We sit down the girls. We start to do the hair. After that, the hair goes to makeup. After makeup, they do rehearsal. After rehearsal, they do fittings. Sometimes it can be like, you know, swap around. They can start with fittings and then they do hair and so on. So that's the 4 steps. When all these steps, they are done, then it's showtime. So everybody gets ready. The models get ready with the full hair, full makeup, dress, shoes and everything. And they go to the lineup. Then the lineup is where we do the last retouch. Like we just finish up, let's say. And then from that moment, they start walking and yeah, and then you are in business.
I heard that there are a special atmosphere backstage when you're working.
When I'm working or when we work?
When you all are working.
So let's say that backstage, there has always been a misconception about the word backstage. I worked backstage before, and let's say that the atmosphere that I was in, it was not that attracting to me. It was very like, there was a lot of personality, let's say. There was a lot of like, you know, very strong character, very like, you know, I don't want to go too much into the detail, but let's say I didn't really like that aspect. I liked to do the hair backstage, but I didn't like that aspect. So I always think, that it is good to treat people the same way that you would like to be treated. And if I'm having fun working, like, you know, in a fun atmosphere, why can I not have that backstage? So basically, that's my motto. That's what I say to my team every single time. I say, okay, guys and girls, we're here. We're going to, of course, we have to take responsibility for what we're doing here. We are representing a brand. We have like designers that work for 6 months for that 5 minutes of walking. So we have to, first of all, make sure that we hit the target. But at the same time, please remember yourself that we are doing hair here. So there is no need for anybody to get upset, not like to mistreat people or being rude or like being stressed out. So I put my music on and I would like you guys to dance when you're actually working. I want you to have fun with the models. I don't want you to just, you know, to be there and just working. For me, backstage is like the Olympic Games for hairdressers. So like it's the atmosphere for me have to be that one. When I see someone that is not like, you know, that is misbehaving a little bit or like if there is too much ego, let's say, that is definitely a no-go for me. And trust me, I've been working in this industry for long enough. I can see from 1 mile away. If you have that attitude, then, you know, that would be probably the first and the last time with me backstage.
What's your top moment in Kevin Murphy's career?
Say that again.
What's your top moment in your Kevin Murphy career?
My top moment? Okay, so it is very hard to pick one because I have, like, I'm really blessed because I work, I always say that I am exactly where I'm supposed to be with Kevin Murphy. I'm every day I wake up and I'm say, I'm really lucky. I'm doing what I love. Not everybody can say that. So I am really lucky. So everything is a top moment. But if I really had to pick one, it was 2 years ago when we did a show. We did our big Kevin Murphy show. Every 2 years we do that. And we did that in Prague. And when I walk on the stage, I literally have, I don't remember how many people. There was like, you know, more than 1,000 people there. And they're all like screaming. I felt like, you know, I was getting really emotional. And I'm not, let's say that I did that before. I step on a stage before with even more than 1,000 people. But like the energy that I got in that moment, it was just, I'm just feeling very lucky that I experienced that once in my lifetime. And I'm going to remember that for all my life. That was, and Alexander was one, he was there as well. Like, you know, he was on my right, actually. When I walked in, I saw him on the right. Like, he was screaming. And yeah, that was my top, that was my definitely my top moment in Kevin Murphy so far.
And Kevin Murphy himself is you probably know him, but can you tell us a little bit about him?
So Kevin, I met Kevin on the early stages. Actually, I was a key back then. I was a key, and I was helping on a show that we did in the UK, and that was the first time that I actually met Kevin. And I had a mixed feeling with him because I was like, you know, a little bit intimidated because, oh my God, it's Kevin, you know? And then on the other hand, like everybody was saying to me, oh, he's a really nice guy. Like, you know, you don't need to feel intimidated and so on. So that was the first time that I met him. And then like, you know, as I grew with the brand, my name, you know, it was, he got to know me and I got to know him. So what I can say about Kevin is that he's, just a real inspiration for the industry and for the world, because he's a guy that did so much in his career. He was so successful. He worked for, like, you know, I don't want to throw names, but trust me when I say that he's a successful man. You can just Google it. And he doesn't show you that at all. He's just a very humble man. He's always like, you know, the shy one. He doesn't like attention. He doesn't like, you know, when people ask him to have a photo, of course he's taking that, but he doesn't feel that he fits in that, you know, rock star costume, let's say. So he's a really true, genuine man that he just want to do his work, like, you know, to connect, truly connect hairdresser around the world and making the best product ever. So that's, you know, in a nutshell, what I can say about Kevin. He's just a really nice guy to be around with. And I'm very lucky that I'm part of the creative team. So I get the luck to see him quite often. So that's Kevin.
What do you recommend for young talents out there?
What do I recommend for young talents to, like, in general?
Yeah.
In general, like, the same as everybody in every work, like, you know, you don't have to just sit down on your success. You have to keep, try to develop yourself, I think. You should never stop learning, and you should never stop being hungry to learn. Like, you know, the moment that you think that you can do something, like, you know, better than another person, or the moment that you think, like, you know, I don't want to go and check out that class because I know already that's a wrong attitude, in my opinion, because you always learn something new. Every time you listen to someone talking to you, enrich yourself. So, like, you know, the best suggestion that I can give is to, like, you know, I don't want to copy what Steve Jobs said, but, like, you know, stay hungry. Like, you know, you have to keep asking yourself, like, you know, how can I grow within my, you know, my job? How can I, you know, get better? And how do you get better? Just by trying. You have to try. Never stop. I've been doing this job for 30 years now almost, and, like, I just scratched the surface. I'm really, like, just scratching the surface now. So, like, you have to keep going.
Okay. And if we have listeners who just want to be in your team, how can they do that?
In my team? Okay. Yeah. So then you ask me a really tricky question now. Let's say, so my team normally I have 15 people in total, and I'm the 16th. I'm just, you know, floating around. I have, of course, my core team of people that I know, and then we've been working together for many, many years, because they're like, you know, they know better than me what to do there. They know the process and stuff. So they kind of gave me safety, let's say. And then I'm always asking around. Of course, I have to, I'm fishing within Kevin Murphy. Like, you know, I, as I represent the brand, it's not a Massimo show, it's a Kevin Murphy show. And I'm directing that. So like I'm representing a brand. So the people backstage, it must be like, you know, Kevin Murphy. Doesn't have to be educators though. I just wanted to make clear that I always keep an eye every time I'm doing a class, let's say the class that I was talking about before, this behind the scene class. If I see someone there that I feel that they have not just the hair skills, because people think that it's just the hair skills what is important backstage. It's not. Like the hair skills we can all learn. We can all learn how to do a haircut. We can all learn how to do a perfect ponytail. What you cannot learn is to be like a nice person, like, you know, to be a positive person, to act nicely, especially when you're stressed out. So like, you know, those are ingredients that they're really hard to see in one person. So I'm always trying to look around. Answering your question, I have to get to know you a little bit. So either I'm reaching out to people like Alex, for example. Perfect example that I'm talking to you, that you're Norwegian. So it happened during the years that, you know, when I have one or two spots available, I ask my, you know, my closest friend, the one that knows me, that knows how I behave backstage and how I would like my team to behave. I send them a text and I say, hey, do you have someone for me? And Alex is always been suggesting really nice people. There is like one girl that now she's been working with me, like with us, for a few years now. And I'm always calling her in every show that I'm doing right now. And she's a client. So she's not a Kevin Murphy educator. I think she was in one of Alexander's class, and Alexander was impressed about her attitude and how she was. And that happened already four times. I have four people from Norway. They're actually like, I rotate. Like this girl that I'm talking about, Amelie, she's definitely my core team now. That is the process. That is not one real process. It's just happened. It just happened. Naturally happened. But I keep my eyes open.
you just have to be that person.
Yes. But as I said, like, you know, there is really important to understand, in my opinion, that is not how good you are in doing hair. It's really not that. Like the hair, even if you are the best hairdresser in the salon, the moment you step in backstage, if you've never been backstage, it's a different animal. It's a different job. Like, it's two different things. In a salon, you have a client. And we all know how it is with working with clients, right? You have a client that look at with them in the mirrors and, like, you know, check it out. Oh, you left one white hair here. Or like, you know, what is this? I want some hairspray. Okay? Backstage, that is your last concern. Like, the other concern is, like, you know, do you have electricity? Or like, you know, where is my model? I can have 1 hour to do a hairstyle, or I can have 5 minutes, and the result have to be still the same. And it's not like, it's really about the attitude that you have backstage. And the skill set is totally different. In the salon, you cut hair. In the backstage, you use wigs. You extend the hair. You extend the hair, but then at nighttime, you take it out. Or maybe between shows, you change completely the hairstyle. So it's really something that you learn, like, you know, step by step. It's not being successful in a salon doesn't mean that you can be successful backstage, or to being successful in a salon doesn't mean that you are a good educator as well. It's like different, very different things.
I just have to ask, now when you can't work, do you play with the doll you show us?
Well, I mean, this is a recorder, right? So your guest, and they will not see. They will not see, but I can show you like my room. So I don't know if you, oh, wait. I just would like to turn around the camera. Okay, I can't turn around the camera. I'm just doing that. Can you see?
Oh, whoa. There's dolls everywhere.
Yes, right now that I cannot travel, what I'm doing, like, I'm trying to get creative. Sometimes when I'm traveling that much, I don't have the time to physically sit down and think about, okay, now I want to develop, like, I don't know, a new ponytail. Or I wanted to develop, like, I don't know, volume hair or whatever. So right now I am doing a lot of trials on mannequin heads. And as I show you, I have 25 mannequin heads here. I have multiple tripods. I have a closet full of product and wigs, extensions. I have like, this is like a dreamland for a hairdresser. My office is a dreamland for a hairdresser.
We can do that. But I have seen you on Instagram. You're having educations, free educations for, is that because of the corona or is that something you do always?
So on my personal Instagram, I show more or less like what I'm doing. The podcast, like the online education, I'm doing it on the Kevin Murphy channel. So I'm doing on Facebook, on the Kevin Murphy official Love Kevin Murphy Facebook page. And that's where, and I'm doing that now because of the coronavirus, we're starting to do that. I actually started last week. I was the first one doing it. So I was really happy. I did 2 episodes. I don't know if you saw that. It is on Love Kevin Murphy. So now we are planning to do that like in a regular base. So you will see a lot of masters and Kevin himself doing the online education. In my Instagram, I'm not doing online education. I have a YouTube channel where I have videos and stuff about what I'm doing. And is the channel is, my name is Massimo Morello. So if you go and check it out, you see a few videos. There is some tutorials about finger wave, for example. A lot of people they always ask me to do finger waves and I like to do it. So there is a little tutorial there to how to do finger waves. So that's basically it. On my Instagram, I'm only posting what I'm doing.
I think it's really great. I was watching it, and in these times, it's really good for us hairdressers to have something to look at.
Well, and for us as well, it's good to be, to have our mind occupy and think, okay, what am I going to show? How am I going to show that? Mm-hmm. Which one is the hairstyle? Which one is the technique? How can I combine the product together? So it's really good. We keep company to each other. Like it's just, it is a bad time, but at the same time, we can get something good out of that. So I always like to see the bright side.
Yeah, you can do the things you never get to do.
Exactly.
Amen. You have time.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. So I think that is good that it's good to hear that you like what we are doing, and it's good to see all of you connected when we do this live. So, yeah.
Yeah.
And we have some routine questions.
Yeah.
What is your must-have for your hair?
Must have for my hair, probably that is the wrong question for me, but what is the must have for a girl's hair? I always say that shine is woman best friend. Like, everything shiny is good for a girl. And shiny hair, nice and healthy shiny hair is always like a big plus for every girl. Doesn't matter where you're from. So I think that shimmer shine is like, if we talk about Kevin Murphy, Shimmer Shine is the best product to achieve that. It's a leave-in treatment that actually helps to add shine on the hair. So for me, a must-have is shiny hair.
What inspires you?
What inspires me? So that's another question that I would like to twist around a little bit.
Okay.
Because my answer to that would be everything and nothing. So what is inspiring me? Everything and nothing. The real question for me is, or at least the question for me is, if I'm ready to be inspired. Because when I was like, let's say in Sydney, and I was working in a salon and I was just, working my daily hours in the salon and then, just going out and playing beach volleyball. And that was it. Like that, my brain was just simply stopping there. When I started to focus more into like the fashion week that I'm doing right now, working with people that do session work a little bit more in the details. That's where I started to see the industry in a different way. That's where I started to see some details that I was not able to see when I was not paying attention to it. So right now I get inspired when I'm at the check-in at the airport and I have a girl in front of me that have a ponytail that maybe she doesn't even realize that she did something interesting. And then I take notes, I take sneaky photos, I draw something on my phone. So like the real question is if you are ready to be inspired. A lot of time there is some cool ideas that just walk in front of you, but you don't see that, either in here or in everything, really. So you just need to be ready to be inspired. So right now I need to be ready to be inspired. And luckily enough, I am kind of almost always ready to be inspired now. I unlocked that part of my brain and really everything inspires me and nothing. Everything and nothing. So it's really, there is not one direction. For sure, I'm not just Googling, I'm not going to on Pinterest. I try to stay away from trends at such, or to see what other people are doing. I feel that right now I wanted to do wet hair, then I'm gonna do wet hair. And then hopefully people will like what I'm doing. I think that you have to do what you like to do because you wanted to please yourself first, and then eventually other people will join you in that.
So not Pinterest. You try to find inspiration in everything else, basically.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. I try really to everything and every time I'm doing a class, every time I am teaching the class. So I am the teacher. All right. I'm teaching the class. I have in front of me the students and I learn from them. Mm. So meaning that I'm not there to teaching them. I'm there learning from them. Because I'm showing them like maybe a hairstyle that I know how to do. So for me is let's say something that I did before. But then when they do that, the way they do that, the way that they take the section, the way that they, comb the hair, the way that they apply the product can be really everything. That always inspires me. But you need to be ready to be inspired. If you just teach and just sit down on your phone and just, think that you are, that you don't have to pay attention, then you don't get inspired. So inspiration comes from everything and everybody.
Okay. So where are you in 5 years?
Well, in 5 years, I just hope to be still happy, the same as I am right now. I don't need to be anything more or anything less. I really enjoy what I'm doing, and I've been enjoying for the last 10 years. As I said before, I'm really where I'm supposed to be. I am where I think I belong to. So in 5 years' time, again, if I'm still here doing what I'm doing right now, then it's a success for me. I don't want to aim for anything, honestly. I never did in my life, to be truly honest. I never did in my life. I never aimed to open a salon. I never aimed to enter this world. I never aimed to whatever happened in my career. It just happened because I want to think that it happened because I just have that positive attitude to just loving my job and just doing it at the best as my capabilities. And then, good things come in your way.
You just have to pick them up.
Yeah. You have to see them, right? Like the inspiration. You have to see them.
So where can we find you on social media? For the listeners, where can they find you?
Okay. So on social media, Instagram is the platform where I'm more active. And my Instagram is Maximo Morello. Then I have Facebook, which is linked to Instagram, and my Facebook is Maximo More. Then, as I said, I have a YouTube channel, which there is you can see all the Fashion Weeks, not all, but many Fashion Week shows, and that is under my name, Massimo Morello, same as my website, which is massimomorello.com. So, see, I came prepared. Look at that.
Oh!
I understand why Alexander calls you Maximo.
Yes, actually it's funny because a lot of people think that Maximo is my name. A lot of people still calling me Maximo now. I always had, I started with Facebook many, many years ago when Facebook came out, and I was like, all right, you know, I just wanted to be a little bit an outsider. I said, no, I'm not going to use my name. I'm going to use Maximo. And that was it. Like, you know, that was the beginning of this. And now I'm still Maximo Morello.
This has been a really inspirational conversation.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It was really nice to have this conversation with you girls. You look very nice. You look two very nice girls. So I'm very happy that I did this with you tonight.
Thank you. And thank you so much for being on our HoiPod. And
I hope we can ask you again.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Anytime. Anytime. Yeah. At the moment, I'm home. So, like, you know, we all have a lot of time at the moment. But, like, I would be really happy to come back.
And thanks to all the listeners who are listening to us.
Thank you so much, everybody. Thank you so much. And good luck for all your career. Just be positive, everybody, and good things will come in your way.
And we'll talk to you next week. Bye, and stay home. We will say.
Stay positive.
Okay. Bye.
Okay. Thank you again.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye. Ciao, ciao. Thank you. Ciao.
Ciao. Moderne medier.